Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We appreciate you listening each and every day to this show and to AFR throughout the day. Hopefully, you're an AFR addict. That's what we, like to create is AFR addicts. And Ed Battagliano is my partner in crime on that. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Tim. We promote AFR,
yeah.
And if it causes an addiction, people can turn away. People can quit if they want.
Do we have a lot of people as I travel and listen to folks, they say, hey, I listen to AFR all day.
Yeah.
And we're very grateful for those folks. That's why we're here, to help carry you throughout your day, whatever time you can listen to our radio ministry. Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning, and to add to that, people also say...
Add to that, Walker.
American Family Radio is the only place I receive my news each day,
mm-hmm.
which is encouraging and a large responsibility on our shoulders to present that news. But that's good to hear that people do value AFR for a lot of news and information each day.
Yeah, and tell our folks how they can listen to the show today, watch the show. Go ahead.
Yes, multiple ways to... listen or watch the show, or do both at the same time. You can go to first. You can go to Today's Issues on Facebook. Today's Issues on Facebook. Watch the show there, comment live, and catch the news stories there. And in addition to that, a new feature we have is our YouTube live stream. So if you go to YouTube and type in Today's Issues live on YouTube, you can watch the show there also. So multiple ways to stay up to date.
So I type in YouTube and then I type what?
Today's Issues Live.
Okay.
Multiple ways to handle your need for a fix.
That's right.
And folks, please do not email me. I'm not mocking drug addiction. Okay? We're just kind of spoofing off the idea of people being addicted to AFR.
You mean you would anticipate emails telling you to lay off the drug?
Yeah, you'd jokes. Be saying, you're making fun of drug addiction No.
Yeah, I would just give three words in response to that.
Yeah.
Get a fill in the blank right there.
Sandwich. Yeah. That's what you need.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning to you.
How are you, sir?
I'm excited.
Hey, whoever won that Canada v. USA women's hockey match, has that been played yet?
As far as I know, it has not. But
is that for the gold?
I've got good. Yeah, it's for the gold. I got good news for you.
Okay.
Because you were sharing the other day you went to a hockey game once and were kind of offended by the fighting that broke out.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I had never been to but a few hockey games. I went to a minor league hockey game, and these guys were beating the stew out of each other, and everybody was cheering them on like gladiators. And
they don't do that at girls' hockey, though.
They don't?
No. Number one, they don't drop the gloves because it might affect the fingernails.
Oh man,
I got a little stereotyping going on right here, but that's okay.
I'll bet women hockey players don't have long nails.
You don't think they have long nails?
No. But the other thing is too, if they have a disagreement,
right?
And sometimes there are disagreements between women,
right?
They exchange words on the ice, all right, but then they feel bad,
yes,
and they hug each other.
Okay.
And they continue with the game.
Well, that's probably a better resolution than just beating the tar out of them.
They have a cup of coffee together.
Yeah, okay.
Fred's making all this up.
Let's get our feelings out.
So when is this match between Canada and America on the hockey ice?
It's got to be coming up soon.
For the gold.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know there was. I don't know. I'd forgotten that there was women's hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal. It really is.
Especially between the U.S. and Canada. They have quite a rivalry.
Canada beat the Russians 5-0 yesterday, and the U.S. Ladies beat Finland.
Okay.
5-0.
Do they trash talk in women's hockey? Have you seen this?
I'm sure they do.
Listen, being as old as I am right now, I would not want to be on the ice with some of these women.
They're good.
They're tough.
Yeah, they are tough.
They're tough. Yeah. And they handled the puck well.
It's a good brand of hockey. It's very exciting to watch.
Okay. Yeah.
And the U.S. beat Slovakia, the men's team, last night, I think, 5-1. So they're just going to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
And I think they're going up against.
We don't stand a chance, our American hockey team, the men's team.
It's all, you know, college and AHL, which is minor league.
Somewhere along the way, and the Canadians.
Well, they already got beat by the Russians.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's going to be really cool if we now know U.S. and Canada women's team are going to face off. Can you imagine the men? Canada and U.S. and the men, if that comes about?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yep. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
All right. What's happening in the news world there?
Well, bring you up to date on luncheon dates today in Washington.
Luncheon dates?
Yeah. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is having lunch at the White House with President Trump and Vice President Pence. And on the agenda is something that we need to be up on, because what they're going to be discussing, apparently the Defense Secretary, Mr. Mattis, General Mattis, has finalized his plans, his proposals on what to do with transgenders in the military. Now,
talking about men who think they're women.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, obviously, we don't know what that plan is at this point, but there is not a lot of optimism that what is going to be presented to the president and vice president today is going to be very different than what President Barack Obama put in place when he was president.
Okay.
In other words, transgenders who are in the military now will not be thrown out of the military. Also, even in January, last month, there were at least, as far as we know, 8 people who identify themselves as transgenders who went to recruiting stations to sign up for the Air Force. So this has been in the midst of this 6-month lull that President Trump announced last September. So this has been continuing. So
no, President Trump announced stop it.
He did.
Then I don't know who got involved.
The bureaucrats
got involved and made him change his mind.
Yes.
So we'll see. But we'll see what the announcement is. You're speculating that it's going to be let them stay and continue on.
And the government pay for their
operations.
Now, that hasn't been announced, so we're speculating.
Right.
The only caveat in all of this is that General Mattis.
Mattis must be good with this.
Well, I'm just speculating here.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out here. I think the wave is so strong within the military, amongst the bureaucrats, the holdovers from the Obama years, that he's just going basically with the flow. Now, there's one, as I say, a caveat to all of this. General Mattis, in recent weeks, has made statements about deployability, that he is only going to send soldiers overseas who are deployable in what's called basically a lethal operation. Now, I don't know whether that gives him a little leeway in assessing who is able to go overseas and fight.
Oh, just a minute. Excuse me.
No, I hear you.
I'm not a military man.
Right,
you know where I'm about to go
with
this
thing? I know where you're going.
So raise your hands if you're straight. Okay. You fellas, you're going to go get shot at. The rest of you guys who want to put on dresses, you go back to the barracks because you're not going. Woo! Man. Is that what you're telling me, Fred? That's what it sounds like.
I'm just saying he floated that out there in the last few weeks. I'm not sure whether it's in connection with this. Right.
I guess what we better do at this point is let's just wait for the announcement to be made.
And then we can
tomorrow.
Bash.
Tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
And then we can figure out exactly what's what instead of doing a lot of speculating on this. But it does. You're saying we're hearing from inside sources that they're probably going to leave the policy as it is and not do as the president said he wanted to do a few months back.
Yes.
And I would just say this, in terms of the pushback that President Trump got and maybe General Mattis, as we kind of hinted at here as we introduced this subject, a lot of that may have come from the turnover that President Obama created in his officer corps in the military. And I think it's been called a purge. I don't know how many actual. In fact, I'm looking up now to see if I can get some hard numbers. But I think that what you had was officers who did not want to go with the, you know, gays in the military and the social engineering, they were invited to leave.
Yes.
And then those who fully supported the president's social engineering, talking about President Obama, they were put into positions of authority. We saw that with several Christian officers, you know, chaplains, so on and so forth, who basically had to fight for their careers because the social engineering worked. Yes. So all this is going to play out over time. We hope it certainly doesn't affect the quality of our military if it's called upon to do fighting. Those that are doing the fighting, doing an amazing job under very stressful circumstances. But in terms of the social engineering, we'll have to wait and see how this plays out over the next decade.
The greatest thing we could have happen today is for General Mattis to meet with the president and vice president, present the proposal to keep the transgender status quo as done under President Obama, and President Trump say, no, thank you. I sent a directive to get rid of the transgenders and the military rule, etc., and we're going to stick with what I said because I'm the commander-in-chief.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah, but he listens to his generals he does. We'll see. We'll just see what happens tomorrow, but it's likely to happen. The announcement happened tomorrow. True?
Yeah, and we need to pray for our troops, folks. I mean, these are the people who will be impacted by it. Can you imagine a man who thinks he's a woman and now going to be living with the female soldiers? That's one scenario. In the same washrooms, all of that sort of thing. I mean, you talk about dispiriting.
Yeah. Right. Again, we don't do this for anything else. If I say I'm a Chinese woman, I self-identify, everybody, including all the progressives, are going to laugh at me and say, that's crazy.
Cultural appropriation.
Yeah. And you can't say anything that you're obviously not, except for a man can say he's a woman, and we're supposed to say, you're right, you are, even though we all know he isn't a woman. You know what I'm saying? It's the only area where you have to pretend that somebody's something they aren't, and everybody's supposed to be happy with faking it.
Yeah, I mean, I've used this example numerous times because it's disturbing. I mean, I'm 59 years old. What if I said, well, I self-identify as a 16-year-old boy. I'm going back to high school. I'm going to start my life all over again, and because I think I can make a better go of it this time. So I want to be let into the local high school, and this is the creepy part. So you got to recognize me as a 16-year-old boy, and I don't want anyone trying to arrest me if I ask a girl to the prom.
Right. Yep. Then people would say that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. We're not going to let you. And I'm 60 years old or whatever, and I try to get into college.
But it's no less or no more ridiculous than a man putting on a dress and saying he's a woman.
To your point, we recognize reality when we see it, except in this instance.
Mm-hmm. Don't know why that is exactly. Do you know why we have to pretend?
Ultimately, I think this is part of the spiritual war against God's moral order, and they reject the book of Genesis.
Yes.
So that's what happens. They don't want to recognize male and female.
Well, it's with that Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner. Everybody knows he's Bruce.
Right.
Right. He goes to, I read about him going to the practice golf. He likes to golf. Everybody knows he goes to practice golf. He's dressed like a girl, but he's whacking balls 300 yards.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody knows he's a man.
Right.
But you're supposed to call him
Caitlin.
A her.
Yeah.
Caitlin. And even the media does that. They call him her. They call Bruce Caitlin because he wants to be called that, even though it's a denial of biological reality.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Fred, Ed, and Walker. We thank you for listening to AFR. By the way, I guess you don't have to wear a dress to be a transgendered person, but I was just... That's what they, you know,
right.
They want to identify as a woman, so that's why they, dress in women's attire,
right,
and change their hair and all that. All right, joining us now is Dr. Frank Turek from North Carolina. Dr. Frank Turek has a show called Cross Examined, which has been on American Family Radio on Saturday mornings for a long, long time. And he covers issues that help you each week, help us as Christians to be able to defend the faith and be able to contend for our biblical worldview. How you doing, Frank?
I'm great, gentlemen, and I'm identifying as a man today, just so you know.
Well, that's good. Good.
By the way, you know I was in the Navy for 8 years, which stands for Never Again Volunteer Yourself. But in any event, the Navy and every military has always discriminated on several issues. They discriminate between a young person and an old person, a fat person and a thin person, a big person and a small person, a strong person and a weak person, a healthy person, an unhealthy person, a smart person and a not so smart person. Everybody discriminates based on qualifications that you need to have in order to defend the country. Some people can't qualify. You don't have a right to serve in the military. So some court's going to probably come along and say, oh no, you can't keep such people out of the military because of some sort of equal protection clause, but there is no right to serve in the military.
Does the military still, do all branches still segregate
men and women?
Men and women?
Well, in birthing they do, but they've in recent years put women on ships and submarines in the Navy, and it's turned out.
But I'm talking about bunking, showering, restrooms.
They tried to. I haven't been in a long time, but it's been terrible in terms of unwanted pregnancy.
What do you do with it? Well, what do you? I guess I'm asking. You have a transgender person. You have a man who says he's a woman. But you know he's a man. Where does he go when you say, okay, you bunk, you shower, you know, the normal things that you would do in the military to segregate men and women, mm-hmm. Do they apply to this person?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay. I don't think so.
I just wondered.
It's a total can of
discrimination.
Worms.
It's discrimination if you don't recognize them as a quote-unquote woman. Mm-hmm. That's why in public schools, for example, a transgender student, say a boy who says he's a girl, they will sue the school if the school has even a separate facility for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That boy who says he's a girl, he wants to be with the girls is a girl. That's what he says. That's why they'll sue schools.
Yeah, but you see, that's discrimination against a person who wants to recognize what somebody's biology is. Everybody's discriminating. The only question is, what's the proper discrimination? Not all discrimination is bad. Discrimination just means that you are recognizing a difference from one thing to another. And we do that every day. We'd all be dead if we didn't discriminate between good and bad, right and wrong, safe choices from dangerous choices. So this idea that all discrimination is bad, first of all, is self-defeating because it's discrimination itself. But secondly, it ignores reality. Everybody, it doesn't matter what side of a particular issue you're on, you're drawing distinctions. You're discriminating. The question is it proper or improper? Now, if you can't recognize that men and women are different, I'm sorry, I can't help. I don't know where to go after that. But obviously, they are biologically, socially, morally. There are differences between men and women, and
do you agree? We were talking about why this is a big issue in our culture today, Frank. And Ed was saying he thinks it's a rejection of God's natural order, and so the reason why so many progressives and people on the left, in particular, embrace transgendered is because. You know, again, it's a rejection of God, of what he talks about in Genesis 1. It's a rejection of that. What do you think about that?
No, I think Ed's absolutely right. And you don't even need the Bible to know this. I mean, this is just a rejection of, as you said, the natural order, the way things are from a natural law perspective. This is why our founders called certain sexual acts, they called them offenses against nature or acts against nature, because nature has set up, nature obviously meaning God, has set up that men and women are different and they have different functions and different roles. And only by bringing a man and a woman together can you procreate and perpetuate and stabilize society. I mean, that's just the way things are. If you have a problem with that, you really don't have a problem with with somebody recognizing that. You have a problem with the creator whose very nature set it up this way.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Walker and Fred. We are talking to Dr. Frank Turek from Cross Examined, as we normally do on Tuesdays when Frank can join us. Frank travels a lot, speaks on college campuses. How many college campuses have you been on the last 2 months?
The last month, about four, and be at the University of Tennessee, the Volunteers out there in Knoxville, and then tomorrow night, East Tennessee State University. They're both at 7 p.m., and if people are in the area, they can come. It's open to the public. If you can't get there, we're going to broadcast it, stream it live off our Facebook page, crossexamine.org. It should be also be on our website, crossexamine.org. So you can watch it, including all the Q&A, which is always interesting, because if you call something, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, atheists are going to show up and ask questions. So tune in tonight to our Facebook page, crossexamine.org, and you can see live from University of Tennessee.
Really? Oh, are you in Knoxville now?
No, I'm leaving in about an hour for Knoxville.
Okay.
And then tomorrow night I'll be in Johnson City for East Tennessee State.
So what is it, 3 hours from Charlotte to Knoxville? Four?
Yeah, we're actually flying. It's only about 6 minutes.
after you spend 2 hours getting in through security,
right, that's
though,
right.
You know.
Right. So what's the number one? So you'll go, so we can watch this tonight, and is this an open, you speak and then you take Q&A from students?
Yeah, Q&A. Yeah, we take Q&A tonight. Q&A will probably start about 8:30 Eastern time. But you can watch the whole thing starting at about 7 Eastern time, and it's streamed live. And we do this on college campuses as many as we can every semester. So we've got, as I say, Tennessee tonight, East Tennessee tomorrow night. Next month we're going to be at Vanderbilt. We're going to be at Murray State, a couple other schools I can't remember off the top of my head. It's all at our website, crossexamine.org.
Give us the top two questions from students after you get through speaking.
How come you're on Tim Wildman's network? That's number one.
Gotcha. You hater?
Yeah, that's right. No. The main questions, well, they're in four basic categories, real quickly. They all begin with the letter E. Evil, if God, why evil? Secondly, evolution. What about evolution? Number three, eternity. Like, will God send me to hell just because I don't believe in Jesus? Or what about those who've never heard? And E, ethics. You know, why does God have against homosexuals or homosexuality or homosexual behavior? Or why did God kill the Canaanites in the Old Testament? So you got evil, you got evolution, you've got eternity and ethics. Those are the four main categories of questions. And they're all on our app, by the way.
You're telling me your average college student asks you about the Canaanites?
Some do, yeah. Yeah, well, why did God kill the Canaanites? I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament. You go, wow, this seems
crazy.
Well,
I know that, but I mean, I would just think your average pagan, atheistic.
Well, a lot of them probably, read Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris, some of these well-known atheists.
That's right.
And they always raise these
so
kinds
I'm
of
a,
issues.
You want to go with me? I'm going over to nail Dr. Frank Turek tonight.
That's right. That's what they do.
There's a hockey game tonight.
We're going to embarrass this bigot. Who wants to go with me? You guys want to go with me? So, anyway, is it generally a pretty good give and take?
Yeah, always. Okay. And you can see it. As I say, you can
watch it live.
You can also
tonight. What do I do now? What time and what do I do?
7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
At our website, crossexamine.org, or our Facebook page, crossexamine.org. It'll go probably till 9, maybe a little after.
Okay.
Eastern time.
Okay. Do you ever say that's a stupid question? Or do you not? Is that generally turn
most
them
questions,
off?
Most questions are actually pretty good, but there's assumptions underneath the questions that can be stupid, but you just ask them about their assumptions.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Frank. Take care. Safe travels on your 6-minute flight.
Yeah, great being with you, brothers.
Okay.
See ya.
Dr. Frank Turek there, ladies and gentlemen. And,
it's pretty brave going in front of college groups.
Mm-hmm. He's fearless, man. Yeah. He'll go anywhere and talk to anybody about God and the Bible. Dr. Frank Turek will. All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
There's going to be discussion about the gun control debate. And there's going to be conversations about the mental health issues. But I think we may be missing or intentionally omitting a cause for these other things.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We still have seats available for our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, that's one tour. And then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, that is a separate tour. Now, we put them back-to-back so you can do both. If you're flying in from Texas or Montana or California or wherever you may be coming from, so that you can do those tours back-to-back with us if that's something you so choose to do. Now, Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be with us all along the way as our historian. Stephen will add context, he'll answer questions, talk about the people, the places, the events that make up our early American history. So for more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com for the September tour information.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Parents at a Texas middle school are wondering what gay bars and transsexuals have to do with Black History Month. Sixth graders at North Richland Middle School were presented a survey asking if they were comfortable going to a gay bar or if they would be okay if their sister's new boyfriend is a female-to-male transsexual. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the survey was part of the diversity curriculum for Black History Month. A parent complained after her 12-year-old showed her a copy of the survey, 41 questions. How do you feel about having a Muslim roommate? How would you feel if your dentist is HIV positive? The irate mom said it was just not appropriate for kids, and the school district agreed. They said the survey was not appropriate and the teacher was disciplined. The lesson here for moms and dads: pay close attention to what your child is learning in school. And if you see something, say something. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Appreciate you listening wherever you may be tuned in across the country. 184 stations we own and operate, American Family Radio. And we're also on the internet at afr.net. Walker's got us live video streaming this show at YouTube. And just type in Today's Issues live streaming. And then we also have this on Facebook Live. So Today's Issues on Facebook. You can watch the show and comment on the show there. And we're posting, Walker typically posts the stories that we talk about. So you can have access to the same information we use here on this program to discuss the issues of the day. You're listening to American Family Radio. Also, one other point, we have an app. All right, we have an app now. I know when I say the word app and a lot of you people over 60 start shaking. And you start, here goes Tim talking about this app thing again, and I don't know what it is. And exactly, well, it's a simple thing you do on your cell phone, your smartphone, that you can, it's like a website, kind of. You download it, and it takes you about 1 minute to download it, and then you can listen to AFR anywhere in the world, clear as a bell. We have thousands of people who listen on their cell phones or on their iPad or similar devices to AFR, and you don't have to have a radio station to do that. You just listen on our app. So if you don't know how to do that, you need to learn how to do that. It won't take you long. Or ask your grandson or your granddaughter to help you. Say, hey, grandson, granddaughter, you want a nice extra bonus at Christmas? Come over here.
Like a nice piece of apple
help
pie.
Help your grandma download this app that Tim Wildman is talking about for American Family Radio. Show me how to use it. So there you go. Take advantage of the app on for American Family Radio. How many people we have listening on the app, Walker? Do we know?
Well, we have over 60,000 downloads of the app. So if that gives you an idea.
60,000 people have downloaded the app?
Yeah. So I'm sure at any given moment we probably have several hundred or maybe a couple thousand listening.
I've heard more than that when this show comes on. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, right. Yogi Berra said if it's true, it ain't bragging.
It could be in the millions, and that's not a lie.
Yeah.
It could be.
Could be.
It could be in the millions.
And who's going to dispute that?
Who's going to? That's right.
It's speculating.
Evangelistically speaking, it could be.
How many? So that what pastors? You were a pastor for how many years?
Evangelistically speaking, how many did you have in service?
Do you think you're a pastor for how many years?
Oh, I was pastor for since 1982. Okay. I've been in the pastorate, but the church I pastored locally here was 18 and a half years.
Okay, well, I just curious.
Yeah.
Do you think there was ever a week when somebody asked you, after church you're out, and your fellow pastor says, after Sunday, and he says, how many did y'all have this morning? Do you think you ever underestimated how many?
Underestimated?
Do you think you ever underestimated how many were in the audience?
You mean on purpose? Or just, I gave a number and I was underestimated. Oh, I'm sure I underestimated.
Down to your career. Oh, you think you underestimated?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I didn't have, it wasn't a big church.
You mentioned evangelistically.
Oh, yeah. Evangelistically.
Evangelistically, mentioned that. I mean, the pastors are known to exaggerate their numbers.
That's why I'm asking.
But you never did that.
No, I didn't. Because it was a small church. That was the
only
way I could.
That's why they called him Honest Abe.
Pastor it part-time. I couldn't have pastored a church of 500 part-time. I couldn't have done that.
Right.
I would have had to quit one or the other.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next, we talk to Sandy Rios. Sandy joins us most Tuesdays when she can. She's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Heard from 7:05 Central Time to 8 o'clock each weekday morning here on American Family Radio. And good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Go ahead.
All gearing up for CPAC. I'm going to be on Radio Row at National Harbor, Maryland, Thursday and Friday, doing the show live, and the president will be there and lots of,
Yeah,
everybody that's in the conservative movement will be there.
What's the name of the what's CPAC stand for?
Conservative Political Action Campaign.
And the president is going to
conference. This is conference.
The president will speak.
Yes. Yep.
What day is that?
I don't know. I'm not sure they know. But,
okay. Well, who are you?
Whenever he wants to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
Answer.
I'm sure that's true. When is he? Go ahead.
Hey, Sandy, this is Ed. If President Trump was just walking by and he just turned in and sat down with you, just on a lark, because he is capable of doing that, what one question would you ask him?
I'd want it to be private. If it's private, I'd say, Mr. President, how's your heart? How's your life before God? How's your marriage? How's Melania? That's what I would ask.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What were you expecting her to say, Ed?
I wasn't expecting her to go spiritual like that. She kind of put me to shame. I was thinking political issues, and she was concerned about his soul.
Yeah.
So I feel bad now.
All right. So if you gave me that category, I would say, did you ever in your life expect that this job was going to take such a toll on you in your personal life, that it would be so difficult? Would you ever have imagined it?
Yeah.
That's what I would ask.
Those are both great questions.
Yeah, that's why.
Right off the cut. Right off
Sandy leads off in the morning for
that's
us.
That's right. Right off the top of her head. Don't. That's great.
Let me ask you this question, Sandy, too, related a policy question related that I'm sure you would get to with the president if you had an opportunity to sit down with him and do an interview. Where are we going with this whole issue of illegal immigration? What's going to happen? The president came in with great plans. He was elected by, in large part, in the Republican primary and then the general election because you know, his promise to deal with illegal immigration problems into America. And of course, he's been met with resistance from day one by the Democrats and even some inside the Republican Party as well. Where do you see this going? Is it just stalled out? Where do you see this going in the next few weeks?
Well, this current initiative, you know, Tim, they're going to keep trying. They already are. There are a couple of senators that have already introduced another bill that this time, I think it's Cornyn, I think he's one of them, that would legalize DACA, the DACA kids, they always say, the DACA young adults. I'm not sure how many. And then at the same time, give some sort of money, not enough, but some money to the border wall, and that's it. So I think that's the next thing they're going to push. I honestly don't think it's going to pass still. But the only reason is because, there are several reasons converging. The same thing as before, the left wants more and more and more. It isn't an agreement that they want. And they won't be happy unless, you know, millions of immigrants already living here are legalized. That's really what they want.
Sandy, excuse me for interrupting you, but I'm watching the Fox News feed, and it says Senate rejects 4 immigration proposals. So does that mean 4 immigrants? So there are 4 different immigration proposals, and the Senate rejected them all. So is that good or bad?
Well, I don't know what those proposals are, but I think given the personnel in the Senate right now,
right,
any rejection is probably a good thing on immigration.
Yes.
Because whatever is coming before them in the Senate is not good. In the House, there is one good bill. It's the Goodlatte bill.
Right.
And I honestly don't know what the House is doing on this today. They've been on vacation. You know, they just came back yesterday. They had a long weekend. Yesterday was a holiday. So I don't really know what the plans are for the House. I will know in 24 hours, ask me the same. I'll be able to tell you.
Okay.
With a lot more certitude. But I think, honestly, Tim, in the long run, the answer to that is I don't think we're on a good track. I mean, I saw a projection this morning that, that the Democrats will likely take the House. And if they do, we will never have legislation like the president wants on immigration, whether it's building the wall or limiting the number of people that are allowed to stay, the visas and all of it.
Yeah,
they're just not going to go for that, and it has to pass both houses. So this was our chance when Republicans.
Yeah,
and they blew it.
Yeah, I'm skeptical about projecting out to November. I know I've read those same things you have. Exactly what's going to happen there, because I do think the tax cuts change was a game changer for Republicans and gave them a chance to not have as many maybe losses as is historically the case in a midterm election in the House of Representatives, where the party of the sitting president loses seats. That's normal. But to lose the House would take a major revolution across the country. I mean, you're talking about a 30 or 40 vote margin. And I'm not saying it couldn't happen.
But the thing of it is, Tim, look, I want you to be right. And
yeah,
it's certainly true, nobody knows, because so many things, as we well know, the events are unfolding with lightning speed. So we never know. But just looking at the signs, I know that the Democrats are laying the groundwork in so many states. They're already so hard at work, whether it be in the voting process or redistricting, whether it be organizing people around these events, like the shooting last week. I'm telling you, the left is behind that group of students who are claiming they're organizing these nationwide protests. I don't believe that for a minute. So the left is behind that, stirring up young people, stirring up all kinds of people, because who wouldn't, after all, want to stop shooting in public schools? So this is another way to get people to the polls deceitfully, misleading them on what actually is the issue here.
Yeah.
So they're using each of those issues, and they're busy at work doing that. We just don't know, Tim.
Yeah. Hey, Sandy, thanks so much. We look forward to you. You have a special guest on tomorrow, or what can you tell us?
Our newest talk show host from St. Louis,
Stacy.
I can't think of her. Yeah,
Stacy
Washington.
She's going
to host for me tomorrow. Yeah,
okay.
She's going to host for me tomorrow morning. And one heads up, some bad news is coming tomorrow, we expect, is that there's going to be an announcement that Trump's dictum that transgenders cannot join the military will be overturned by the Pentagon, basically. This is what we're expecting. It's not over till it's over, but we expect that to report to come out tomorrow. We don't expect it to be good.
Okay, well, so, but we were talking about that earlier in the program. Let's just withhold too much discussion about it till we know exactly what they're going to announce tomorrow, but I hear what you're saying. Hey, thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it very much. Take care.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios, R-I-O-S, and we appreciate Sandy every morning with her excellent program from 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time here on American Family Radio. All right, Fred, back to your stack of stuff there.
Just interesting, a Washington Examiner has a story this morning following up on the campaign in this election year. And some amongst the Democrats, if you can imagine this, they're talking about one of their platforms is going to be repeal and replace Trump's tax cuts. Now, can you imagine Democrats going out and trying to convince people who just got $2,000 bonuses and pay raises, and they're seeing the results already in the tax rates and all that sort of thing, telling people like Nancy Pelosi out there saying it's crumbs. For a lot of folks, this is a big, big deal.
That's a loser issue right there. I'd stay away from that one. If I were counseling the Democrats, I'd say let's move on to your next idea.
Yeah. So that's the issue. What are they going to run on? I still say that President Trump, don't underestimate him. When he said, I'm willing to give a pathway to citizenship 10 to 12 years for 1.8 of these dreamers.
Million, 1.8
million. 1.8 million, pardon me. So he can go out there in the election campaign saying, I was willing to do this, and the Democrats stopped me because they weren't willing to give me money to secure the border. You have dreamers now who are out there. They're angry with the Democrats for stalling this thing. They don't have a problem with $25 billion for the border wall. They really don't have a problem with that. But they want this legalizing of these 1.8 million dreamers. So I'm not sure.
Let me also just say this, and we've talked about this ad nauseum. Ad nauseum means a lot. Right, Ed?
Ad nauseum means, on and on to the point of being ill.
So I'm about to do it again, though. Is it going to make people sicker?
It depends what their tolerance is. Okay. They may be
but
able
ad
to tolerate
nauseam,
one
we've
more.
We've talked about this ad nauseum, and so I'm about to talk about it again. So if you don't like to be, have that feeling of ad nauseum, you might want to turn your radio down.
Or take some Pepto-Bismol.
Take some Pepto-Bismol.
That might help.
However, the Republicans control the House. They narrowly control the Senate, and they obviously have a Republican in the White House. The House of Representatives, I think overall, is doing. Walker can comment on this. He's our political expert here. The House of Representatives, since the president has been in office, has basically done a pretty good job, an A-minus maybe job of, and I'm not grading Paul Ryan out that way exactly, but I'm just saying overall, in presenting in good legislation and voting on good legislation that basically fits with a conservative constitutional agenda. They passed a lot of legislation in that way. Am I right, Walker, so far?
Yes, okay. You're right. I mean, we conservatives have issue with Paul Ryan on certain areas, but overall, he is at
the
least...
The House.
In the House. Paul Ryan is the House Speaker. He's in control of the House.
Right.
He, for the most part, he is at least allowing, unlike John Boehner, he's at least allowing conservative bills to come up, good legislation to come up for a vote. And he's given the Freedom Caucus fair shot at passing their legislation. And a lot of times their legislation passes. The House, that is.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. This, why don't you comment on this? Let me finish this thought. So then we transfer from something that's passed in the House that the president supports, which the people who voted for Republicans and the president in 2016 wanted to see happen. This is why we voted for it. Immigration reform border security, a lot of things. It goes over to the Senate. Okay, here's where your problem is, your main problem with the Republican Party. The legislation goes over to the Senate, and it dies. Why does it die? Because, you ask, because the Republicans have a majority in the Senate. They could pass things if they wanted to, right? Yes, they could, but the Republicans want to tie their own hands behind their back in the Senate. How, you ask? Because the Republicans want to allow a 60-vote threshold to pass anything in the Senate. So, if you only have 51, is that what they have now? 51?
Yes.
Since, the Roy Moore lost in Alabama to Jones, the number's been reduced to 51. So, the Republicans only now have a 51-48 margin or 49.
Yeah,
margin.
There's an independent or two okay. in the yeah. Senate.
So, you can never get to 60 votes on anything that President Trump wants to support or that the House of Representatives have passed. You can never get to 60 votes on anything. It's impossible.
Right.
Okay? As the situation stands now. Why? Because the fakabuster, as Brian Fisher calls it.
Yeah.
The filibuster, otherwise known as the 60-vote threshold. So I would argue, Walker, that the Republicans are hurting themselves potentially in the midterm elections because they've tied their own hands by supporting letting 8 Democrats or 9 Democrats block everything they want to do, and the Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, go, yeah, we agree. We want the Democrats to be able to block everything we do, even if it means we lose the House and the Senate
yeah.
in the fall because we're not doing anything.
Right.
You see the logic here that I'm trying to draw out? So it's to us, we've argued, it's self-defeating on the part of McConnell and the Republicans to be for allowing 8 Democrats or 9 Democrats to block everything that they want to do.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, from now until the foreseeable future, the United States Senate and the House, they might as well go out of session.
That's what I've suggested.
Except for, planning for tour groups to come in the summer to visit their offices. There's not much going to be doing because nothing can pass.
Right.
Anyway, you want to comment?
Yes, the 60-vote threshold, which they call the filibuster, but it's not really a filibuster.
Right.
The 60-vote threshold has historically been used to block conservative legislation. That's the sole purpose. If you go back from when it was first enacted, it's been used to block conservative legislation. And it's extra constitutional, meaning it's nowhere found in the Constitution. It's a simple rule, just like other rules, that guide the way the Senate operates. So it takes a simple majority to get rid of that rule, which we have a simple majority, barely, but we have a simple majority. So Republicans could get rid, if they wanted to, of the 60-vote rule.
But they don't want to.
They don't want to. Also,
why wouldn't you want to?
Well, I think they don't want to take votes, hard votes, on very hot topics.
In the Senate.
In the Senate. I think they like hiding behind, and they can articulate it very well why they want to keep the filibuster. But at the end of the day, I think it's because they don't want to take votes on the hard issues like immigration, a final vote tally on whether you support amnesty or not.
Okay.
So,
but they're gonna argue. I don't want to get too much into the weeds here, Fred. But the Republicans who are in favor of the 60-vote threshold, which basically means nothing gets passed in the Senate, they're gonna tell you, yeah, but one day the Democrats are gonna be back in charge. They're gonna have the White House, and we're gonna be glad we're able to block them, mm-hmm. like they're blocking us. Now, in other words, the old adage. You ever heard the old expression in sports? You play not. You don't play to win, you play not to lose. That's the approach that the Senate Republicans seem to be taking on everything. And go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, but that right there is the problem. They're governing to hold power, to keep power. We don't. The Founding Fathers, they only laid out a handful of issues which needed supermajorities, such as impeachment, a new constitutional amendment, etc.
Treaties, maybe?
treaties. Yeah, very, very.
Right.
The founding fathers thought about this. They thought, what needs a supermajority? What requires a supermajority? Legislation did not make the cut. And also, legislation did not make the cut. So this is a rule that keeps them from having to do tough things in Washington, and they like it.
Right. Well, because they can vote for a bill that their constituents would like to see passed, knowing that it won't be passed. That's the really insidious thing about this. They know good and well it's not going to be passed because they can't get the 60 votes.
Yeah.
So they vote, and then they go back to their state, and they say, well, hey, I voted for this bill. You like this bill.
Yeah.
Knowing that so that's why when you say, Tim, do they want the filibuster? And to your point, Walker, they want the filibuster so they never have to go on record when it counts.
Yeah. And to answer the
you
whole—
You just bingoed, Ed.
Yeah. Just bingoed. And to answer the whole argument, well, when Democrats get in power, what if they pass single-payer health care? Or what if they—well, they've already done that. That's Obamacare. Or what if they just abolish the Second Amendment, you know, if the Democrats are in charge? Well, so what? Elections have consequences. If they do something drastic like single-payer health care, the American people should go to the ballot box the next election and offer a referendum on the Democrats.
Yeah.
So, but what they're doing is that they're not running, they're not governing. They're operating in a continual power.
Dysfunctional.
Yeah. How do we keep power? We don't send them there, Republicans, to keep power. We send them there to govern.
Yeah.
And if they do a good job, we'll send them back.
And as I've said, Fred, we appreciate your contributions the last 20 minutes here. Are you still with us?
I'm still here.
He's over there ad nauseum.
But you know, again, you mentioned the word insidious. To me, it's gamesmanship. It's insidious. It's phony. And I don't mean to impugn anybody's integrity, but the Senate Republicans who are in favor of maintaining the 60 vote threshold, to Ed's point, they know nothing's going to get done.
Yeah.
And they like it that way.
I think Republicans also have a John McCain problem. They got a Lindsey Graham problem.
Yeah,
they got a Jeff Flake problem.
And a
Susan
problem.
Collins problem.
Yeah.
And they're going to add Mitt Romney to the mix too.
Yeah. Yeah. They do have the establishment Republicans oppose a lot of good conservative ideas, even though they would claim to be for them. But as Ed says, they know that it's not going to have a chance to pass in the Senate. So those Republicans say, hey, I voted for it. But, you know, those doggone Democrats, they blocked us again. Well, I would say, why? How are those doggone Democrats able to block you? They would have to say, because we let them. So, excuse me, so you're saying you're to blame for good legislation being passed because you're going to allow eight Democrats to block everything you're trying to do. You got me.
Well, and then the other thing that we've mentioned on occasion is that the argument that we need to keep the filibuster in case the Democrats get into power. Well, Harry Reid, when he was majority leader, he said, we are going to get rid of the filibuster.
Right.
So
yes.
And this argument that the Republicans keep bringing up is not a real argument.
Right.
If the Democrats ever control the Senate, they will get rid of the filibuster.
Yes.
If the Republicans lose seats in the Senate and the House in the fall, it's their fault. It's their fault because they're not doing anything when they could. They could do something if they got rid of the 60-vote threshold, but they've decided they want to maintain that at the risk of losing seats in November. So if they lose in the House and the Senate in November, it won't be President Trump's fault. In my opinion, it'll be the fault of the Republican Party decision makers who have chosen to allow the Democrats to block them in the Senate. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this